You are listening to the acclaimed Professional by Choice podcast that is going to prepare you for the competitive professional world. Just like any sport, being a professional takes time, effort, practice, and commitment. With rigorous training and focus, you will know what it takes to be a professional. And now presenting your host, hailing from East Chicago, Indiana, the man, the Marine, the legend, the all-knowing master of the professional routine, Chris Molina.
So today's guest is Ray Flores. And Ray is an on-air anchor at ESPN Radio 1000 Chicago and is also an announcer for various mixed martial arts and boxing organizations. Some of the organizations he's worked with include the UFC, Total Fight Challenge, Iron Heart Crown, C3, Ball at Bourbon Street, XFO, Absolute Fighting Alliance, and the list goes on and on and on. He's also had the privilege of interviewing the likes of Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather Jr., Manny Pacquiao, Anderson Silva, and Randy Couture, just to name a few. Ray is a fellow Northwest Indiana native hailing out of East Chicago, Indiana, just like myself, and he is a graduate of Columbia College, Chicago, focusing in radio and television. Ray, welcome to the PBC podcast, and thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Chris, thank you very much for the invitation. Love what you're doing. I think it's so apropos that your podcast is called the PBC podcast because I work for PBC, Premier Boxing Champions, who is an entity in boxing that's really making a lot of waves, putting boxing back on free television. So I love the synergy there.
Yeah, there you go. And I remember when I was researching for this interview, the week that I've seen you posting so much about PBC that you're on the PBC podcast.
Absolutely, man. Glad to be here, man.
I'm super excited to interview today, and especially because you're normally the one doing the interviewing. You're switching sides here.
Yeah, definitely.
but first, I want to ask, how was your day?
My day was fantastic, man. Got a lot of stuff done. Really excited. I'm going to be going to upstate New York. We have Showtime Championship Boxing this week. And then, it's a busy summer when it comes to, boxing and combat sports, as both you and I know. So it's just that, when I'm home, I'm able to, go grocery shopping and get laundry done and get ready for my next trip,
Absolutely. And for the listeners that may not know, I am also a huge fan of combat sports. So the little bit of time that Ray and I speak in between this interview and anytime we talk to each other is just purely about MMA and combat sports, which is always fun to talk to somebody that's as knowledgeable as you. So before we get into your story and what I want to talk about today, I was curious, other than what you've mentioned, do you have any current events or upcoming projects that you're excited about that you don't mind sharing with us?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, Chris? I mean, I'm excited because, we have the summer series for PBC on ESPN. We're in the midst of like 6 shows in about 10 weeks. And also I'm going to be ring announcing on NBC coming up on June 18th, and that'll be here in Chicago. So it'll be nice to have a home game at the UIC Pavilion. Andrew Funfara, Joe Smith also. A couple of guys I'm very high on. Erickson Lubin is in one of the featured bouts along with Rasheed Warren and Juan Carlos Payano. That's a rematch from a fight that they had last August. That's going to be a tremendous matchup. We just have a lot of things on the horizon when it comes to, PBC on NBC. Also, I've gotten into some play-by-play as well. Doing some play-by-play work for Roy Jones Jr. Boxing, Craig Cohen Promotions. As I mentioned, this week I'm going upstate New York, right outside of, Canastota, which is the Boxing Hall of Fame. I'm going to be in Verona, New York, at Turning Stone Resort Casino. I'll be doing some hosting stuff for Banner Promotions on their website and their social media outlets over the, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, along with Wednesday. And then I'll be doing the international commentary for the international feed of Ruslan Provodnikov, John Molina Jr. If you're a fight fan, you need to watch this fight, and it'll certainly reinvigorate your love for combat sports. Between that, my ESPN 1000 duties and just traveling all over the place, I mean, it's certainly going to be, a busy summertime. I mean, I know that we have some big shows on the horizon. I'm really looking forward to seeing the matchups that we have moving forward.
Yeah, that sounds exciting, and I'm sure I will be watching some of the events that you'll be at And I'm a little jealous that you'll be there and I won't. But that'll be for another time. What I want to talk about is some of what you talked about, and it's a little bit about your story it comes from. So can you enlighten the listeners about your story? Because I do know a couple things. I obviously know where you're from. We're from the same place, we're in the same high school, knew each other as children. But you've also traveled a ton and done something that you're passionate about. Can you tell people about a little bit where you're from and your journey to where you are right now?
Oh, well, I'd absolutely be happy to, Chris. You know, I grew up where, you know, you and I grew up in the same area, East Chicago, Indiana, and I'm very proud of where I grew up. I'm a Cardinal through and through, no matter where I go, all over the country, all over the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, being from East Chicago, Indiana, I mean, it is truly my home, despite the fact of where my current zip code is. To answer your question, I went to East Chicago Central, started off at ECTV when I was about 16 years old. That's a local access station. So I started there doing TV 13 years ago, and it really changed my life being in East Chicago and also working for ECTV. While at ECTV, had an opportunity to do a piece on Miguel Torres, who was the former WEC bantamweight champion of the world. At one time, was one of the world's best pound-for-pound fighters, also UFC sure. bantamweight veteran. Meeting Miguel and talking with him, it opened up the door for us to do his cards when he fought on. So we would go to the Hammond Civic Center and we would do the commentary and we would film his fights and we would show it a week later. So the reason why, a big reason why I am here today, Chris, aside mm-hmm. from, you know, my parents and teachers that I've had, and the support that I've gotten from my family, is because Miguel Torres opened up the door for me to partake in combat sports. And he was certainly a driving force behind kind of teaching me the business early on when I was 16, 17 years old. After I graduated high school at East Chicago Central, I went to Columbia College, as you alluded to. I was always talking about mixed martial arts and boxing. So when I was a freshman, the program director for the college radio station, Cheryl Morton Langston, another mm-hmm. individual who changed my life, she asked me if I wanted to do an MMA and boxing radio show. Very rarely do you say no in this business. Unless you're putting your life on the line, you always say yes. So I said yes. Sure. It's so visual. I started doing an MMA and a boxing radio show. There, I met Michael Hursley, who's a legendary writer at the Chicago Tribune, and I had him on my show every sure. week. He then introduced me and brought me around the local boxing scene. Then I was able, it was around the time period of the Oscar De La Hoya Floyd Mayweather fight that was sure. happening in May of that year. They came, they had a press tour, and they had a press conference. So I went and covered that press conference, I think in February, March, when I was just a freshman or sophomore in college. And thanks to Michael Hursley and Bernie Barmazal, who was the PR person who I work with very closely now, and Bernie gave me access and did not look at me just as a college kid, but gave me an opportunity and signed off on my credential to get into the press conference and cover local fights. After doing that 6 months, I go to Joe Goitia, who is the promoter for the Total Fight Challenge. He opened up the door for me to go ahead, and he called me and said, hey, he goes, my ring announcer dropped out. In a month, I'm having my event. Do you want to come and ring announce my show at the Hammond Civic Center? So I ring announced my first show for Joe Goitia. Now, mind you, amongst all this as well, after working with Joe and you know, working with Miguel, I met Braulio Carell. Braulio Carell, who used to run, along with Eric Moon, the Ironheart Crown. I was doing commentary for them during that time period. Joe was the one who gave me my first ring announcing opportunity. But being around Miguel, I met Joe doing commentary for ECTV, but Ironheart Crown gave me an opportunity to be a PR person and sell sponsorship and do commentary for their events. And then after Joe Goitia, I did my first show. And I have to say thank you sure. to Joe, because I was horrible on my first show, but he stuck me. And then Mike Davis, who ran Brawl at Bourbon Street, who's another MMA pioneer, he asked me if I wanted to do his shows in Marionette Park on Bourbon Street a couple weeks after that. So it just kind of built from there. And I've been fortunate to work for some of the most amazing promoters on the planet. You mentioned a lot of them, but you know, I've worked for, you know, I started doing stuff for Banner Promotions about 4 years ago on Friday Night Fights. Thanks to them, I made my Friday Night Fights debut working with Joe Tessitore and Teddy Atlas, and I learned so much from the ESPN Friday Night Fights crew. Before that, I was filling in for Joe Martinez for Golden Boy Promotions. Joe would go overseas quite a bit, and I was doing these solo book sales shows for Golden Boy Promotions on Telefutura, and I think I did about 14 shows for them. 2013, I got an opportunity to do the undercards for the Canelo and Mayweather fight in Las Vegas at the MGM Grand. Amongst all this, I was still going, once I graduated college, and I know I'm bouncing around all over the place, but I'm trying to, you know, just put as much information as possible. So chronologically, it's rather difficult, but I knew I wanted to expand and ring announce. I wanted to pursue ring announcing full time, and this is when I graduated, college at Columbia College. So I I sent emails to 100 promoters all over the world, and one or two of them responded. Alan Orr from 10th Legion Championship Fighting, they were the ones who gave me an opportunity to go, look, you know, we'll bring you out here, you know, pay you a decent amount. We'll fly you here to, it was whole England. So I'd have to fly. I flew to Manchester, and then I had to take a train for about 3 hours into Manchester. Now, my first trip, they didn't just have me go on my own, but they had one of the members of the promotion, Dwayne Harper, pick me up at the airport. And just to give you an idea, my first trip, my luggage got lost. So we had to stay in Manchester, in that area. And then we had to go the next morning. And then I went and did weigh-ins, and I was doing commentary. So I must have been – I went to the UK for Alan Orr and 10th Legion – about 10 or 11 times doing their shows, opened up an opportunity for me to go to Belfast, Northern Ireland, and that's Paul McLaughlin, Clan Wars. I did two shows for them several years ago. After that, a promoter from Scotland, they went ahead and they got a hold of me. So I've been very fortunate, but Alan gave me an opportunity to travel abroad. I also went to Costa Rica 1 month after I graduated to do commentary for an MMA event for Miguel Itarate and the a gentleman, you know, a group down there, and it was a big event, but it was in a parking lot of a mall that fit about 4,000 people, and I did commentary for an MMA event down there in Central America and stuff, and working also for the XFO has been exponentially huge for me. I mean, Dan Lardy and Jeff Curran gave me a big break in 2009. The XFO is one of the preeminent promotions around the country for MMA. They've sent over 200 fighters into the UFC, Bellator, and the big leagues. So working for Dan Lardy and the XFO, I mean, I really grew up here. I mean, I've been so fortunate to work for so many amazing promoters, and I cannot tell you how much it's meant for me to sit there and be a sponge and learn from all of these people. Plus, with Braulio, he kind of ventured on his own after the Iron Heart Crown, stopped doing shows. And there was a period about a year and a half where I was the matchmaker for his show. I was doing, I was making fights happen. I mean, we had a huge card at the Hammond Civic Center. I worked side by side with him in matching Carlo, a young man who knows the business, who's still a matchmaker today. And we were doing, quite a bit of shows, and we had a massive show in November of 2009 at the Hammond Civic Center, over 4,000 people. We had Jared McMahon, who's a local MMA legend. He fought Eugene Chrysler. We had Pat Curran and Darren Elkins. Both of them were undefeated at the time, going head to head. They put their undefeated records on the line. It was a special moment. So just every promoter and every, there's so many of them that I learned and I continue to learn from. So without them, I wouldn't be where I am today.
Yeah, and I'm sure you could go on and on and on. This could be probably a two-hour podcast.
I apologize about going on, but I really have to mention those names because, Chris, they have been so influential to me and in my career, and I'm just very honored to work for all of them.
Yeah, and I think it says a lot about you that you would want to take time to give thanks to them. One thing that I have to ask is especially for the announcer side of it, but also for being an anchor on ESPN, because there are millions and millions of people that are sports fans, and they would think that they could do that, and they would love to just talk about sports all day and be in sports, or be an announcer and be around combat sports. Being an announcer, that has to be in the category, in the top of the category of not a lot of people do that.
Yeah, no, that's very true. You know, that there's only a handful of us.
And I think you kind of touched on a couple things or a couple aspects of what I want to talk about, and that's what you have to do to stand out among so many people for a particular discipline that you want to do, because I'm sure you're not the only one that sent out emails to people asking the questions that you ask and asking for an opportunity. But it says something about how slim of a chance your industry for being successful in, and just even getting a start. You sent out hundreds of emails and you got two. If you send exactly 100 emails, that means you had a 2% chance or 2% success rate of sending out emails and ask for opportunities. What would you say when you look at ring announcers and other people around you, what's different about the people that have made it through that threshold and the people who didn't?
To be honest with you, Chris, it's hard work, and part of it, I mean, it sounds cliche, it's luck. It's right place, right time, because there's so many talented people all over the world that are very good announcers, or they're good play-by-play guys. I mean, listen, I'm not one of those guys that think I'm just the only one on the block. I mean, there's so many talented people. The guy that I look up to is Jim Lampley. I think he is the best play-by-play man in the business, hands down. He has done amazing things. Another close friend of mine, Stephen Quadros, who I learned a lot from covering the IFL back in 2006, 2007. You know, he covered and he did Pride back in the day. I mean, he did Hoist Gracie Sakuraba when there were 93,000 people in the Tokyo Dome out in Tokyo, Japan. Yeah.
Back in Pride's heyday.
I mean, back in Pride's heyday. So it's hard work. It's really knowing the sport. It's loving the sport, having passion for it, and putting yourself in positions to succeed.
Yeah, I would say that I would want to put a spin on the word luck, because I think sometimes people, when they see somebody successful, and you were in the right place at the right time and afforded opportunities, they would see it as you didn't try as hard as other people, or you didn't prepare as much. And I think luck is absolutely what happens when preparation meets opportunity. You were prepared, and then there's a little bit of having to take the initiative. You didn't just sit there with the opportunities and wait for them to fall in your lap. You were prepared, and you went out and tried to get those opportunities.
No, you're right. And you know what, Chris? Here's the thing. I'm very fortunate. I'm glad. I know a lot of people in any industry that they go into, they want to start off at the top. I'm glad I didn't start off at the top. And another guy I have to thank is Adam Delavitt at ESPN 1000. Adam has given me an unbelievable – working at ESPN 1000 really changed my life, because I didn't hook up at ESPN 1000 until 2 years after graduation. And working for ESPN, and the worldwide leader in sports, and being a sports anchor for them, and learning with the guys, you know, the Carmen DeFalcos, Yurko, along with Waddle and Sylvie, and all, you know, Jonathan Hood, who is my radio big brother. I learned so much from Jonathan in how to approach the business, and Jeff Dickerson, and all the producers I work with. I've learned a lot, and it's helped my ring announcing as well. To answer your question, I'm glad I didn't start off at the top when it comes to anything I've done, because, you know, I've driven up and down the roads to Rockford, Illinois. You know, I used to take an 8-hour flight into Manchester and then go get on a 3-hour train ride and then work all day. And then, you know, for the way in and do interviews, and I was doing ring announcing and commentary, and I loved it. So I did not start off doing – I've been fortunate to do NBC and Fox and ESPN and HBO, every network you can think of, But I didn't start off there. I had to do local shows, and I cut my teeth good, you know, going to local shows and doing local shows and doing commentary and doing online streams and stuff like that. And it builds character, because sometimes the crowds aren't that big. Sometimes the, you know, sometimes it's not the brightest lights, but you know what? I love the business, and you work hard and you treat it like it's your Super Bowl, time in and time out. And that's exactly what I tell students when I have to talk at, you know, Columbia College or, you know, the Illinois Media School. I mean, that's one of the things that I tell them. You have to treat every day like it's the most important show or event of your life.
Yeah, you got to bring your A game. What would be one last thing to leave with the listeners that they have that goal in front of them, that maybe if you backtrack and rewind, they were in your shoes and you saw that ring announcing thing that you really wanted to do. What advice would you give those people that have that goal in front of them that they see?
Well, I think it's fitting, Chris, that just – couple days after he passes away, that I have an opportunity to join you right here on the PBC podcast. Muhammad Ali was such an unbelievable example to humanity. And essentially, some of the things that he said, not verbatim, but his concepts that he got across, if you see the brass ring, go out there and grab it. If you fall down, I mean, I'm going to, you know, there's a quote that says, it's okay to be knocked down, but it's staying down that's the problem. You have to get right back up. And that's one of his famous quotes. And I probably – it wasn't exactly word for word, but you get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are times when you're going to have – where, you know, Cat Williams says it. He goes, you know, sometimes you're going to be in life and you got to try stuff and it's not working. Try stuff and it's not working. But eventually, if you continue to remain positive – keep working your butt off, it's going to happen for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I am so happy that I got to capture some of your time, because if anybody follows you on social media, they know that you are ridiculously busy. So thank you so much for coming. I like to end all of my interviews with a couple of offbeat questions. So I have a couple this or that questions for you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
No, I'm a night owl. Fights happen at night, man. I feel my best in the evening.
There you go. Coffee or tea?
I'm a tea guy. Coffee, you know, it's too strong for me, too bitter.
Okay. Do you like the summer or the winter?
I'm a summer guy. Nothing like being outside in my opinion, the greatest city in the world, Chicago.
Okay. Favorite MMA fighter to watch?
Anderson Silva. He's the Michael Jordan of the sport.
Absolutely, he is. I agree. What's one thing that you miss about East Chicago?
The people. I miss the people. I miss the camaraderie. Chris, you're a good high school friend of mine. There's nobody on the planet that's going to have your back more. I went to my friend, I'm sure you know, Joey Marquez. I went to his wedding in September. And to be with those guys, the guys – you know, you guys all, and not even to get on a soapbox here, but you guys from East Chicago, nobody's had my back more than the people from East Chicago. Nobody's there, and we were all there. I'm sure you joined us at the lunch table, and we would talk about sports and this and that, and we would argue, we would debate Cubs and White Sox and Bears and Packers, whatever, but nobody on the planet has my back more than my buddies, than my high school classmates from East Chicago. No disrespect to anybody else, but there's nobody on the planet that I love more, I care about more from a friend standpoint than my people from East Chicago, because without them, I wouldn't be anywhere I am today.
I love that, and I think every single person in East Chicago and from East Chicago should listen to this podcast for that. It's very uplifting. Last question for you.
Yes, sir.
How many times ballpark would you say you have spoken into a microphone?
it has to be in the thousands, man. And you know what? I forgot what the quote is, but they go that you need, what is it, you know, 10,000 hours and more than that to master something. I'll never master anything. But the thing is, I always pursue perfection. Perfection doesn't exist. but I constantly strive to be the best because, you know what, a lot of people have given me an opportunity to display my craft, and then they give me the responsibility to be on the microphone or to represent their company, and it's something I take with a great deal. There are people that have put hours and thousands of hours. I mean, my mother, who is, you know, my biggest fan, my dad, who taught me so much, my brothers, who was there from hell to high water, and everybody that has been behind me. It's not just for me. It's to go ahead and make sure that they're all proud and to try to make a difference, because that's what the world needs. It needs people that want to make a difference, not just for themselves, but for society in general. Muhammad Ali taught us that, and I think we need to continue to follow in the greatest of all time's footsteps.
Absolutely. I think that is a great way to end the podcast. Ray, I appreciate it so much. It's hard to put into words. Thank you for the interview today.
Hey, Chris, I think what you're doing is unbelievable, because you know what? It's guys like you that need to continue to tell stories. Not, I mean, I'm just a normal person, but other people, the guys like the bus drivers, the teacher at East Chicago Central, the police officers, the firemen, the people that are in public service, you doing this for the, you know, the community out there, I think is a beautiful thing, and I applaud you, and I'm behind you 110% for what you're doing.
Brother, I'm humbled by your words. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, brother. Have a great one.
You too.
Thank you for listening to this PBC podcast. If you liked what you heard, leave a review for future listeners and let us know what you thought of this episode. We would love to hear from you. You can also head over to professionalbychoice.com to be kept up to date on our new episodes released every Monday. The ball is now in your court. How are you choosing to be a better professional each day?